Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasts.
Surviving narcissistic abuse can be a long and challenging journey, but it is possible to escape and heal. Welcome back to True Crime Connections. I'm Tiffany, your host, and today we're talking about surviving narcissistic abuse. Today I am joined with Shara. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Tiffany. I'm really excited to be here today and just share part of my story and my journey.
Absolutely. Where did you want to jump in at?
Oh, we can jump in wherever you want to.
Was this a marriage? Was this like just a relationship? Was it a few?
Yeah. So ironically enough, you know, unfortunately, yes, I did end up marrying this person. I don't even want to call him a man. I don't think he's, you know, a man. But yes, I did end up marrying this person and was married for a number of years. During the abuse, and was able to escape. And here I am today to talk about it. And
very good. Anytime we can escape something like that and become better on the other side is a blessing.
Girl, you tell me about it. So, you know, just part of my healing and part of my journey has been obviously not only being a self-published author and being able to educate and inspire other people to become, you know, non-statistic. But I was able to give back to the community this past holiday season with a couple other business owners in the area, and being able to, you know, have a toy drive and then go take those toys and donate them to Weave. We had, I think it was like over $1,000 worth of gifts that we were able to donate. And I don't recall off the top of my head, like how many families it was able to bless, but it literally brought tears to my eyes. Like it was happy tears. And I was on a total high that entire, like, probably 2 days following that, just because it felt so good to be on the other side and be like, yes, girl, you know, you can be this too. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a statistic. So it definitely feels good to be on the other end of the stick, if you will.
That's amazing. And that's a great accomplishment. I can only imagine how that made your heart smile. I can see it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've fallen down that path as well. And I know how self-destructing it can be, especially to your self-worth, because you honestly start to believe everything they tell you that you're not. And it's hard to rewire yourself.
Right. You know, for me, it was a little bit different. And I know that, you know, like you said, you know, being a victim, and I don't even like to use that word, but being a victim, you know, everybody's story is very different, right? And we all experience different things. And so I had the physical, you know, abuse and the emotional abuse and the mental abuse, but for some reason, the verbal abuse never like penetrated. It never got to me. I was the breadwinner. I was the person who was supporting the family and the household. And he was the stay-at-home dad. And so from a financial standpoint, like I had that confidence. But I think that also from my own upbringing and who I was, right? Not only did I question myself at times, like, good Lord. Like I literally would say to myself, Shara, how in the world did you end up in this situation? Because I was so much better than this, right? Like I was so much better than you know, being caught up in this situation. And so I knew that I didn't deserve this. I knew that this was not me and this is not what my life was supposed to be. And so when he did try to, you know, use the verbal abuse and attack me with his words and things like that, I literally would be in his face fighting back with my own words like, yeah, I know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and I would repeat the things that he would tell me. And the one thing that I can say that I would continue to tell not only him, but myself, and I do to this day, is I know who and what I am in God, and that is all that matters. And I think that me telling myself that, as well as telling him, like, really did help to not allow his words to penetrate my mind and my soul to start believing the things that he was telling me, you know. And you talk about like the self-destruction. And one of the things that I had to learn to do was not only forgive myself, but like apologize to my family, because I couldn't understand, like, I'm destructing my life. I'm not destructing yours. Like, what is your problem? Right. Well, what I didn't realize was that they loved me so much that it was hurting them to see me hurt and destroy my life, because they even knew that I was meant for more. And so I did have to say, hey, like, it took a while for me to realize that that's what it was. But between those two things, you know, apologizing to my family, saying, okay, I get it now. Like, I was destroying my life and you're watching me destroy it. And that's painful to see, you know, especially when you love somebody so much and you know that they're meant for more. And then at the same time, apologizing to myself, saying, you know what, self, like, it's okay, you know, dust yourself off, get up, go rebuild, right?
Right. You have to. And I feel like when we get to that point and we start to rebuild, we are better than what we were before. Hell of a lot stronger.
Oh my gosh. You know, it took me several years to rebuild, because we talk about rebuilding and I think that people seem to forget or maybe don't even know. And that's why it's so important for us to have these kind of conversations where we're educating people, whether it's people that are family and they are friends. And that was kind of part of, like, even my book was saying, hey, I think the most common things that people ask is, well, why didn't you leave? What do you mean, why didn't I leave? I left 50 million times, 50 million and one times, right? You know, well, why didn't you just this? I did, right? So, but educating people not only how to support a friend or family member who is going through this, right, but really being able to make the conversation not taboo and be able to talk about it and say, look, this is why some of these things happen. This is why, you know, she didn't do this or she did do this, you know, because people just don't really understand or know what goes on until, like, you are it. Like, I remember realizing, like, you have become, you know, what do they call it? Like, a domestic violence survivor. Like, you have a label on you now, right? Like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? And it happens exactly like we think it does. Slowly but surely and over time. It's not overnight, right? It's not.
Right. When you first meet them, they're perfect. They say what you want to hear. They do everything. You know, they are a completely different person. Couple months mm-hmm. fast forward, the real them starts to come out. I always said, when you first meet somebody, you don't meet them. You meet the representative. And mm-hmm. it's not until a couple months that representative starts to slowly disappear. And the real person starts to come out, because they can't hide that forever. You know, once they think they got you, it's like, okay, slowly you're going to get the real me. But usually by then mm-hmm. you're already kind of blinded by what story they already sold you. And you're like, oh, but yeah, I can fix him or her.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I was definitely on what I call the roller coaster, right? Where we'd have a falling out, you know, I'd be the worst thing since, you know, sliced bread or whatever. And then, you know, we'd kiss and make up and he'd promise me the world and we're back up on the roller coaster, you know, and the good times are good for about 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, you know, and then it was just a cycle. It was a cycle. And so, again, I think what people don't realize is that it's not as easy to escape. And I use that word, you know, loosely, but literally, it's not as easy to escape the situation, you know, as people think. They think that, oh, it's, you know, just leave. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, you know.
Especially if you have children or there's other things involved, you can't just up and root yourself somewhere else. Just life doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, people who've never been in that situation, they don't get it. It's not until you're kind of stuck yourself and you're like, oh shit, like I'm now one of them. I get it. And you got to start planning and it takes a while for you to get all your ducks in a row. It really does. Because especially mine also played financial abuse. So they made it very hard for me to be able to leave.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because I sit there and I think back on some of the stories of me trying to escape. And I literally say escape, you know, and again, who I was then and who I am now are completely different people. I think even who I was before him and the situation and who I am now are different. You know, it definitely changes you. And I can honestly say that I was lucky to be in a financial situation that I didn't have to worry about, okay, well, where am I going to go? Where am I going to take my kids? Where am I going to this? Where am I going to that? But the reason that I would always go back is because the torment and the torture and the agony that I would endure when I would leave was far worse than what I was dealing with when I was with him. So what do I mean by that? I would change my phone number. You know, I would, then next thing you know, he's, you know, setting up a Facebook account and he's messaging me on Facebook. He's calling a friend or a family member and trying to get them to contact me. He's, you know, popping up out of the bushes when I walk out of my, you know, office complex, you know, just all the stuff, you know, I don't know how, I still can't figure it out to this day, but, you know, he would figure out how to get in my garage or into my house. You know, I must have obviously left something unlocked or who knows, but you know, next thing you know, he's popping out of a closet or it's just, that's not a way to live. And I'm like, you know what, forget this. Let me just go back to him and figure out how to make things work. And, oh, you know, he said he's not going to do it again. So let me go ahead and, you know, make it happen. And so I'd go back and then next thing you know, same thing happens over and over and over and over again. Right. And that's what we call the roller coaster cycle.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he was stalking you when you're not with him, clearly you're not breaking away from him, even though you're gone. Like he made it a point to keep showing up.
Right.
So there was no escaping.
Literally. And I think even, you know, not to really fast forward into my the ending of the relationship, I truly count my blessings. I count my blessings in not having to be a statistic, right? And yes, I was a statistic in the situation, but, you know, it could have been so much worse. And I knew what I needed to do in order to escape the relationship. I never was so far gone mentally that I was like, oh my God, what do I need to do? You know, and I do count my blessings. And that was one of the things, you know, in giving you know, to the families in the Weave and program, they're like, well, how does it feel to, you know, what would you have done if you had this? It's like, well, I wasn't in that situation, but then again, everybody isn't as blessed as I was even at that time. But again, I knew what I needed to do in order to leave the situation. It's just, it was just so hard. And I can recall towards the end of our relationship, you know, he was living at his mom's house and I was, you know, still in our home with my children. And we would see each other like once a month, you know, so the it going from like 1 week every week, you know, where we wouldn't talk and then we'd pick back up, it started going longer. And so, you know, no matter what would occur, I would always still get the butterflies and excited to see him and all of that when we would kiss and make up, right? And I remember the last couple times that I had seen him, I felt absolutely nothing. And it was so weird to me. I'm like, oh crap. Like, I think it's happening, right? Like, I think we're there. And, I don't know because I never talked to him about it, but I think he was feeling the same thing. And so there was two of those times that occurred and we got into an argument the last time and it was like, we just never spoke again. We just never saw each other, never spoke. There was no closure. There was no nothing. It was just ending. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I think in that moment, like he was just as done as I was. And I don't think if he wasn't done that it would have ever like really ended, you know what I mean? Because he would have continued to do what he did when I did leave. And so I'm very, very thankful that he felt whatever he felt, whatever it was. Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're lucky because when they see you as like a challenge, mm-hmm. Oh, no, they are not giving you up no matter what they have to do. They won't. So you got very lucky there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you know at the time you were in a narcissistic relationship?
So I knew at the time he was bipolar, like beyond a shadow of a doubt. I definitely also knew that I was in a domestic violence relationship for sure. There was no denying that. I don't think that I was educated enough to truly know and understand that he was a narcissist. It wasn't, and I don't know, you know, for the listeners, like, I don't know where you are on your health journey, but for me, the healthier I get, and again, I've been out of this situation for over 12 years. So, but even then, like the healthier I got 6 months, a year, whatever, the more I realized like what I was dealing with and how unhealthy it was. Like, you know, it's unhealthy, but then when you get in a healthy relationship or, you know, you start getting healthier, like, oh crap, like that's not normal. That's not good. And so I definitely think it took a little bit longer for me to realize like the narcissist aspects of things. Whereas, like I said, the bipolar, that was, you know, night and like, yeah, there was no denying that, you know?
Right. Oh, for sure. I mean, I can only imagine. I think mine thought that they were bipolar and they were probably right. But at, you know, at that time, this was also like, I don't know, one was almost 17 years ago and the other one was like 8 or 9. I didn't even know what a narcissist really was. It hasn't been until like the last really couple years that people are talking about it. People are saying what it is and saying like, these are examples. And then when you start hearing this, you're like, oh shit. Makes so much sense now.
Exactly. No, for sure. I think that, you know, and I don't even like to use that word too much only because social media like overuses it, and, you know, gaslighting, narcissists, and it's like, okay, but do you really understand? You know what I mean? Like, people are so quick to just throw a label on something or someone without truly understanding what that is. And I know for me, you know, like I said, it took a while for me to even really realize it. But more recently, a couple years ago, I had seen somebody on TikTok and they were giving examples, right? So it wasn't enough for me to read the definition and see this and be able to go, oh, that's so-and-so, or that's this situation, right? It literally took somebody on TikTok giving a actual live example of a situation that they had with somebody, and they gave multiple examples where I was able to go, oh my gosh, that's my relationship with this person. Like, that's exactly how this goes, for me to be able to really truly see and understand. And I think that what people don't realize, including myself at the time, was that there's different versions and styles of a narcissist, right? And I think it was maybe after that TikTok video, maybe 6 months or a year, that I realized again that there was the different versions and styles, because everyone just says, oh, you're autistic. Oh, you're ADHD. Oh, you're narcissist, right? Well, no. That's the header. Right now we've got all these other layers, you know, and these legs that are off of that say, okay, well, this is the kind of narcissist that they are. And I think that was part of the reason that I wasn't able to see it as much until later on, where I was like, oh no, yeah, like, he's always right. It's always everyone else. It's never him, you know, and really be able to see that. And the funny part is, this is always funny to me, liars don't like other liars, right? Like, he couldn't stand a liar. I'm like, but you're the biggest liar of them all. What do you mean you don't like liars? You know, of course, I wouldn't tell him that.
Right. No, I totally, totally understand. And you know what's crazy is, until I started doing the podcast and speaking with other people, I didn't know there was different kinds either. Like, there's categories. Like, my mind was blown. And I was like, okay.
Absolutely.
You just don't realize how deep the rabbit hole goes, you know?
And I, you know, I've never looked into, you know, the different categories of narcissist or any of the other labels that we've mentioned today. But when I found out about one of the categories, and this is in dealing with somebody else that I know, it wasn't then until it, you know, clicked in my head, like, oh, there's different versions of the, oh, okay, got it. Okay, that makes sense, you know? And for me, I feel like when you understand what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, why you're dealing with them this way, you know how to deal with them, right? So once I know all of those things, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes it easier for me to deal with this person, because I know the what and the why and the how, you know?
Yes. I also think they have like a sixth sense for it. Like, clearly when I met these people, my self-confidence must have been damn near on the floor, and their spidey sense went, ooh, you, we pick you.
Exactly. You know, this is one thing that I have learned, again, you know, just in my healing journey across the board. And when I say healing journey, I mean healing myself as a whole, right? But one thing that I have learned is we attract what and who we are, right? So if we have not done the work within ourselves to heal from childhood trauma, and that trauma could be everything and anything, but if we have not done the work within ourselves, whether it's financial trauma, whether it's, you know, a car accident, whatever it is, we're going to continue to attract this kind of person, right? And so that was one of the things that I really had to work on, because I'm like, I don't want that kind of person anymore. You know, they're very manipulative. I think that you're absolutely right. They have a keen sense for being able to identify somebody that they can walk all over, somebody that they can manipulate mm-hmm. and groom into the kind of person that they want to be able to control, you know. And again, groom, that's one of those words that people use with, you know, human trafficking and whatnot. But grooming is in so many different areas of life and relationships, right?
Oh, absolutely. It took me a long time to figure that out as well. Like, I am a product of generational trauma. And so I attracted men that treated me like family members treated me, because to me that was normal. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. see there was anything wrong with it. And then after a while, you're like, wait a minute. I feel like I'm better than this. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel mm-hmm. like this is also true. How did you Absolutely. Work on yourself? What did you use in your healing journey?
You know, and I kind of like, oh, what didn't I do? you know, for me, it was, I actually, you know, moved away. So I was born in the Bay Area, but I was raised in Sacramento and lived there until the relationship ended, at which time I pretty much just started my life over again. I got a job in the Bay Area. I moved out to the Bay Area, and that's where I had the opportunity to truly, like, rebuild my life. So moving out to the Bay Area, like, really allowed me to not only rebuild my life, but, like, live freely. The biggest thing that I can recall is, like, having the freedom to be able to, like, walk around and not have to look over my shoulder and worry about if I was going to run into him or somebody that he knew or his family or any of that kind of stuff. And so that was a very, very refreshing experience for me. And, you know, I think that one thing that people don't realize is sometimes when, you know, you're in these relationships, like, we lose everything. I lost my children. I lost my home. I lost jobs. I lost personal, you know, belongings, such as, like, had to sell off my car and, you know, things along those lines. So when I say rebuilding my life, like, I really had to rebuild my life. I moved from a 3,500 square foot home, right, to a duplex that I shared with a friend. It was a two-bedroom duplex, and one of my children and I shared a room, and we slept on a bunk bed. Like, if that's not the most humbling experience, I really don't know what is, you know. But allowing me to move away was the start of my healing journey and getting my mental and all of that. There were multiple times in my life after I had left him that I did try to seek out, like, counseling and therapy and even do some of the, what is it called? The hypnosis and things along those lines, because I wanted him out of my system. Like, I wanted the thoughts and the memories and, you know, all of the different things and the PTSD and the triggers that were difficult for me. I wanted them out of my system. And so luckily, about 3.5 years ago, I came in contact and started working with a therapist. And like, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 months after I started working with her, I had a really tragic event with COVID, where I actually contracted COVID and was in the hospital from February to April, in a coma, on life support, the ventilator, the tracheotomy, had to learn to walk, talk, eat, the whole shebang, right? And so that was very traumatic for me. And although in the 3.5 years of working with her, she's helped me with my tragedies, like, that I've gone through during my work with her. She has also greatly helped me with some of the past stuff. So I think that, you know, for people who have thought about working with a therapist or counselor, whatever you want to call it, right? Sometimes it's like a common misconception that you have to like work through all your old crap in order to get through it, you know, and I have luckily been able to grow despite having to just sit there and dig out all of my old crap, right? Now, don't get me wrong, like we've definitely dealt with some old crap, but as it comes about, as it is shown in my life, as a scenario presents itself, we're not just sitting here like going down a timeline of events. Okay, so tell me what time when, you know, no, we're not doing that. Right. And so working closely with her, like one, I know that I would not have been able to get through my two tragedies in 21 and 22, but I also know that I would not have been able to grow as much as I have. To the point that like, it's not just her telling me, oh my gosh, I see the growth, you know, like I feel the growth in the way that I handle situations, the way that I think, the way that I talk, the fact that something doesn't affect my energy or my aura the way it would have before. And now I'm like this, you know, huge advocate. I'm thinking to myself like, man, if therapy and counseling or, you know, any kind of healing, right, process was mandated or free to the public, imagine how healthy that our world would be, right? And I think the healthier that you get, the more unhealthy you realize other people are. No judgment, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
I think everyone should get it.
No, for sure. I started a nonprofit called The Crime Connection because people do, they need the resources. They need answers. They need ways to help fix themselves because there's so many different modalities and just things that are out there that people never heard of.
Right.
I mean, anything. Right. There's so many things. Even like ayahuasca, go get high and change your life. You know what I mean? Like literally it opens up your brain. There's so many different things that people don't realize. You don't have to be stuck in this ball that you keep yourself in. Life is too short. You need to heal, move past it, and grow. Constantly growing.
Absolutely.
You wrote a book called The Power to Rise Above. Writing that book probably had to be therapeutic to you alone.
Absolutely. You know, I can recall, I would probably say about 5 years after, you know, our separation, that I thought I was in a place of being healthy and being able to start doing some of the give back work. And, you know, in hindsight, I was not in a place at all. And it actually sent me into one of my worst moments of anxiety. I mean, when I say I've had anxiety before, I've had depression, but this anxiety or panic episode was literally crippling. It would, you know, just like paralyze me. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. I mean, it was horrible. And the craziest part is I didn't even identify, like I had to go to a counselor to, you know, I was dealing with it for like 2 months. And I went to a counselor out in the Bay Area when I still lived in the Bay. And in my first session, we were able to identify. I'm like, how in the hell did I not realize that me doing this pertaining to him, thinking that I was healthy, was the cause of all of these, you know, feelings and emotion? Like, I don't know how in the hell I didn't identify that. But so I took another 5 years, right, to continue to work on my health and all of that. But at first, there was definitely some tears, but it was tears of joy, tears of excitement. It was emotional, but it was happy tears, knowing that like I was in that place, I was ready to tell my story to, again, you know, I not only tell my story and some of the facts that I didn't even tell family, like up until my book, my friends and family never knew stories. Like I never was like, girl, guess what he did today? I never did that. They knew it was going on, but they just never knew like specifics of what was going on. And so being able to be in a position to tell those stories of, yeah, there was this one time this and another time that, but also to educate people on like, what is this narcissist? Like, how does this come? Like, what is bipolar? What is, you know, the gaslighting? Like, here's an example of what that looks like. Like, here's how to support. So I'm not here to just like, oh, I want to just tell my story. Like, well, that's great. Who are you? And why do people want to hear your story? Right? No, they like, I really need to get the information out there so that not only can it help me to heal, right, and be part of that journey, but also put me in a position to hopefully continue to educate and bring awareness and be a support to other people that are trying to, you know, survive or recover or whatever.
Right. I think the most important part is you need to realize you're ready to do so.
Right.
I mean, I've heard it before, people, you re-traumatize yourself because you haven't really dealt with the whole package. It might be little pieces here, little pieces there, but then you get one piece that you haven't dealt with and that can just spiral you right back down.
Yeah. No, that's exactly like literally when I tell you that this happened. So I had done two things and I don't remember exactly which one because it's been a number of years, but the two things, one of the two is what sent me down that path. And one of them was, well, I guess they're, now that I think about it, they're tied together. No. So I drove by the home that we lived in before I left Sacramento. And when I did that, I took a picture of the home and I wrote a poem. Girl, I don't write poems. I'm not a writer. You know what I mean? Like I'm that's right. Not me, but I do journal, right? I do get my thoughts out on paper or, you know, computer or whatever you want to call it. I do write my thoughts down sometimes because it's very therapeutic for me, whether I share it with somebody or not. And so in this particular moment, I basically wrote, you know, a small, I want to say maybe 4-paragraph poem, and I had posted it. I posted it on social media. I posted the picture because the picture went along with the poem. And I mean, it got all these, you know, views and likes and shares and, you know, make it public so we can share it. You know, everybody, you know, because they wanted to bring the awareness. They wanted, and again, I thought I was in a place that I could do that and be that and, you know, and instead that sent me down an ugly, ugly dark hole. But it was still a good lesson for me. I still took something out of it and saying, okay, not now, but later, right? Like God wants me. Well, I shouldn't say God wants me to, but I feel led, you know, to be an inspiration to others so that somebody else can either avoid the situation or they can survive the situation, right? Or maybe it's a family member or a friend who we can inspire to say, hey, look, this is how you support your friend, you know? And even still, since then, I've been able to support others and know how to support them because I know what I needed in that moment. I don't need the judgment. I don't need that we told you so. You know, I don't need the questions. I needed the person that say, I'm on my way. What do you need from me? I'm here for you. You know, and that's not always easy to do when you want better for somebody's life. But that's what that person needs in that moment. You know, they need to be able to feel comfortable to talk to you without the judgment, without the criticism, without the backlash. without all of that. That's what they need. And so, like I said, you know, just being able to kind of get to that point of being who and what we are today is, you know, just like for yourself, being able to be on a podcast and not only tell part of your story, but being able to hear other people's stories. You know, one of the things that I have, I don't even want to say struggled with, but the one of the things that I have, you know, thought about with my story is that I am who I am. I have a personality. I'm vibrant. Like, this is who I am, right? I'm going to laugh and I'm going to smile and I'm going to, right? And domestic violence is a very, you know, low, soft, you know, somber topic. And it's like, well, but that's not me. That's not who I am. So if I can't be who and what I am when I'm talking about this, then I don't need to share my story on those specific platforms, right? Because everybody is not going to be the person that's crying. You know, if I'm sitting here crying about my story, then I'm probably not healed. I probably have some work to do still. That's just my personal opinion. I'm no therapist. I'm no expert, but I know that when, you know, when I talk about like, oh, when I read my, like, I remember writing my poem and reading it to my aunt, I couldn't even get the words out, you know? And now here I can, hey, this is what it is. This is the reality. This is my story. This is my story and my journey.
I love it. Love it. Love it. And you're so right. Like, I think that's also like another reason why people are scared to tell people what they're going through, because you're afraid you're going to be judged. Or, you know, if you do go back to them for, I don't know, the 12th time, you know, they're going to be like, well, we don't want to hear about it anymore. Because, you know, if you're going to keep going back, that's not what you need. You need somebody who's going to listen, not hold judgment, and just be there for you, because eventually you are going to learn and you're hopefully going to be able to walk away and not be a statistic. So that's the plan, is, you know, be a step ahead of the statistics. You know, so many of us fall very close to it, but as long as you can get yourself out, turn your life around, start having healthy friends, healthy relationships, oh my God, your life is a completely different path. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Right? And it feels great too.
Oh my God, yes. Not walking on eggshells? Are you kidding me? Hell yes.
Oh my gosh. That used to be the worst. Like, you wake up and you're like, okay, what side of the bed did he wake up on? Like, are we good? Are we not?
Yep. Was there anything else that you wanted to share?
No, you can go ahead. Well, I guess I should say yes. Yes, I would love for the listeners to go ahead and check out my book, The Power to Rise Above. You can find it on Amazon as well as Kindle. And I do believe it is an audiobook as well. So all of the good platforms.
Absolutely. And anyone who is interested, check the show notes, because I will have a link there so you can go ahead and find that book. And if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, maybe share a story, or they just want to tell you that, you know, your story inspired them, is there any way that they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So I am on Facebook as well as Instagram. So my first name is Shara, Shara. On Instagram, it's Mom of Four Cuties. And I'll make sure to provide the link to you, Tiffany. And then for my Facebook, you can find me Shara Lee, L-E-E.
Perfect. Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story. This is what we need. There's so many people going through the same things, whether you're just starting in a relationship and you're not sure if that's the path you're going down, you're just getting out of a relationship, or you've been in one for like 10 years and you want to see some changes. I mean, there's something in here for everybody. And I think that's great. That's what we need more in this world. Hope.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me today, Tiffany. It was a pleasure chatting with you and, you know, laughing through our pain. I think it's a little easier to laugh now that we're out of it. So it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. I feel like humor, it does lessen it a little bit. You know, you have to kind of laugh about it once you're clear. get to that other side first.